Amém. Our God is good. First, I want to thank God. I want to say a very big thank you to Setman and the pastorate, Pastor MY. Thank you. Thank you to the pastorate for this opportunity. We do not take it for granted. Thank you, sirs, for helping us grow, for helping us learn and helping us grow. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. We are indeed very grateful. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, we submit our entire mind and everything we have to you, that you speak, you teach us tonight. We've come to feast, to eat from your table. And Lord, we'll be blessed indeed tonight. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. All right. Are we ready for tonight? Okay. If you have your Bible with you, it doesn't matter whether it's an electronic Bible or your physical Bible. Sister Blessing, it's good to see you. Welcome. Happy New Year. After today, nobody should ask for Happy New Year again. Hallelujah. Okay. Are you with your Bible? It's in my heart that we do this. Okay. So let's declare. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Tonight we'll be looking at God's word. I'll be talking on who am I really? Who am I? When you enter, there are machines, there are offices that you want to try to enter. And when you, with your ID card, when you swipe your card, it will say identity confirmed. Have you been to such offices or have you seen it? Maybe in movies or whatever. You see, to just say identity confirmed. There are some that use this call card or something. And then somewhere you put your thumb, it just say confirm. And then it clocks you in, like those who use clocking device. There are informations that have been put in that place, part of your data, and that's what has been confirmed. I cannot go to Brother Uche's office and come in as Uche and put my thumb and it will say identity confirmed. Why? Because I am not the feet, the height, the weight, the name, and whatever signature of the person. I am not the one carrying that data. So when I go there and try to clock in with his identity, it will tell me identity denied. Praise God. Identity denied. But when he comes with the right identity, and this is Uche, and then every other thing that is, and he just puts his thumb there, it will say identity confirmed. Hallelujah. That means this is the person with these data, with these informations. Hallelujah. Who am I really? Talks about who we truly are. Because most times we go about with a picture of what we are not. A picture of what the world tries to sell to us. A picture of what social media tries to make us believe. A picture of what God's word has not given us. Another identity. And that's not us. But we stick, when we focus and run with in our minds who we truly are, then the results that follows will be that of who we truly are. Amen. For instance, we're not supposed to be sick, like we have learned in this place. We are not the sick trying to be healed. We are the healed that the devil is trying to make sick. So when we know that and we run with that, even when sickness comes, say, no, this is not mine. This is not my portion of sickness. Get out. Hallelujah. Because we know who we truly are. We know our identity. It is confirmed according to God's word. Hallelujah. We'll be looking at our text from Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Hallelujah. Our God is good. Romans 8, from 15 to 18. All right. It says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. You received God's spirit when he adopted you as God's children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. Hallelujah. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. 18. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Hallelujah. That's it. He showcases himself through us, our true identity. When we understand our true identity, we understand that we are God's masterpiece. Hallelujah. He showcases himself through us. We that are the very express image of the glory of Christ. Hallelujah. We are his masterpiece. I was checking the word masterpiece in the dictionary and I got this. It says, masterpiece is a work of outstanding artistry, skill, or workmanship, a great literary masterpiece. And I was checking, I went on to check synonyms. You know, things that are close to that portrays what I was looking for. And what it tells me, let me explain the way I got it. It says, I am his triumph. You know, when you, as a workman, when you're doing something and you got it, and you see this is, maybe, let's say, a potter who makes clay. If you make a very fine one, very beautiful one that is outstanding, it's a masterpiece, you are happy, you say, wow, this is my trophy, this is my triumph. So those are the words I got. Triumph, coup, marvelous feat, feather in one's cap. So I'm a feather in God's cap because I'm a masterpiece. I'm something he's happy, he's proud to showcase out there as his work, as his handiwork. Hallelujah. That's practically my wife's name, actually. Oluchi. It means God's handiwork. You know, showcasing God's handiwork. Hallelujah. So, feather in one's cap, wonder, sensation, outstanding example. So when they come and they say, are you a carpenter? I say, yes. Can I see any of your work? You bring out the, you don't go and carry the one that you did that even Munashi cannot even, no, you will bring the one that you have done for like Dangote or you have done for Tero. You want to bring that? They say, are you the one that did? They say, you begin to brag. Say, this is the one I did for Ambrose Ali when he was alive. You want to brag and make people say, eh? Say, I've did one for all of ourselves. Really? Say, even Nambi Azikiwe self here. Why? Because you want, it's the best way you can sell your stuff. So God showcases himself, his wonder, his glory through us, his masterpiece. How? You're going on the street or around your environment, wherever you are, workplace, everything. No one is permitted to be sick. No one is expected to die. Nothing is expected to go wrong. Why? Because you are there. You are God's wonder in that place. Hallelujah. So Those are the things that God. A standing example, paragon. What's paragon? Something that's like a replica. Something that's a very good example. We'll say, my mom used to use this word. I don't know how correct it is, but she would say, carbon copy. You know, there are times you see some children, you just see their father when you see them. You say, ah. I told us last time in the last program, in the last 2 weeks ago, during the service, I said, you cannot see Temilulua and begin to ask who his father is. No. When you see him, you just know that this is the crown prince. You just know. Because he looks like his father. Hallelujah. A pastor was saying that when he sees his members behaving somehow, she said she will ask a senior pastor. She said, is that one of your children? Pastor said, no. This one must be your own child. You know? So when we see you misbehave, people should ask who your father is. And I'm talking about your spiritual father now. So if you know you don't want people to ask questions, because me, I know that my senior pastor will deny you. Pastor Peter will say, I'm not his father. So you better behave well, even in public. I remember Pastor told me once, he said, if you go and drive one way or you do anything that is wrong in society, don't come up. Don't call me. I will not come out. Hallelujah. And that's what he used to tell us back in the days. Our father's there. Don't go and disgrace me out there. If you do anything, don't just say, I'm your father. Hallelujah. So great work. Show peace. Paragon. Gem. Prize. Tour de force. Heat. Knockout. These are the words I got as synonyms to masterpiece. Hallelujah. So the scripture actually says that we are his masterpiece. We are his treasures. He calls us children. He said we have been adopted. And so we can now even call him Abba, Father, because we are joint heirs with Christ. We cannot come with a slave mentality into the presence of God. Like those of us that were abused before, we were told that we are, no matter how righteous we are like a filthy rag. May God forgive the people who have made a mess and made a caricature of our faith. Hallelujah. So you see people crying for no reason. They say it's a revival, but they're just crying. Why are they crying? They're crying over sins. Over sins. Over sins that have been forgiven. And then one man comes to preach and just talk about the sin they committed in 1942. And they just break down and start to cry again. That even all the righteousness they are, the one they are standing on right now, is even a filthy rag. It's nothing. And they just take them back to the cross. And they cry and cry and emotionally abuse themselves. And they say service is jim. No, it's a waste. It's a waste of effort. Hallelujah. Let's see Romans. Romans 9. You know, growing up, we love to watch thrillers. Romans chapter 9. Growing up, we love to watch thrillers and action films. I'm one who love action films. And I remember I have quite some popular names still in my head. You know, back in the days, in the 80s, early 80s, you hear names like Chuck Norris. You hear a lot of them, Cynthia Rothrock, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You hear names like Clint Eastwood, Dolph Lundgren. You hear names like Bruce Lee, Brandon Lee, Jet Li, Jackie Chan. There are so many. Wesley Snipes. Name them. These are people who take action movies, the lines of action movies. And why I'm saying this is, what we look at for when we watch action films back in the days is we have this mindset that there's an actor and there's the bulls, there's the bad guy, you understand? And something happens and the actor is either beaten, disgraced, or something happens and he just vanishes from the scene only to resurface later to kick or beat or kill the bad guys. Is that not what we know about films? Uh-huh. That something happened, they push the guy from plane, or maybe something happens, and all of a sudden, somehow at the end, they think he's dead, and then he or she just resurfaces and takes the bad guys out. And we say, yeah, the Atto has come. That's the mind we had when we were growing up and watching action films. But guess what? In God's script, in God's own movie script, which is our real life, we are winners. And we are meant to win all the way. Not that at one point you now go down or once it happened, the bad guys take you out and blah, blah. No, no, no. We are meant to stay on top, on top, steadily, as winners, as victors, as champions, as God's masterpiece. Hallelujah. Romans 9. Verse 4. He says, they are the people of Israel, choosing to be God's adopted children. God revealed his glory to them. He made covenants with them and gave them his law. He gave them the privilege of worshiping him and receiving his wonderful promises. Hallelujah. I saw that in one other version. Let me check. Okay. Let me see. The ERV. He said they are the people of Israel, God's chosen children. They have the glory of God and the agreements he made between himself and his people. God gave them the law of Moses, the temple worship, and his promises. Okay. The message. He said, at the same time, you need to know that I carry with me at all times a huge sorrow. It's an enormous pain deep within me, and I'm never free of it. I'm not exaggerating. Christ and the Holy Spirit are my witnesses. Yes. He said, it's the Israelites. If there were any way I could be cursed by the Messiah so they could be blessed by him, I'll do it in a minute. They are my family. I grew up with them. They had everything going for them. Family, glory, covenant, revelation, worship, promises. To say nothing of being the race that produced the Messiah, the Christ, who is God over everything, always. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. That's who we are. We have these promises. We have the covenant. We have everything to keep us going. Amen. To remain as God's masterpiece, showcased for all to see that, yes, we are far more than the stories we see in the movies. We are far more than anything we have ever heard of. Hallelujah. He said that if the things we've heard and seen our fathers do, if they are glorious, he said, how much more even us now that carries the presence of the Lord. Amen. And I'll show us that quickly. It's in, okay, let's see Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4 to 12. So, Ephesians 3, 4 to 12. He says, as you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations. Did you see that? He did not reveal it to previous. So, there are things kept for this age. There are things kept for you and I now, because even those of old could not understand. Like, for instance, Moses will go to the presence of God, will go to the mountain to worship God, to spend time with God. He will come down and deliver a message from God to the people. But now God speaks to you directly. God speaks to pastor directly. God speaks to everyone. He has a way of reaching out to people. Back then, it wasn't like that. In fact, the Bible has it that there was a time Moses went to the mountain to spend time with God. And when he came down, the glory of God shone on his face so much that they could not stand him. They could not look at his face. He had to put on a veil. Hallelujah. Moses had to wear a veil, a cloth to cover his face because they could not behold the glory of God on his face. It comes and goes. It comes and goes. But now he's resident in us. Hallelujah. No wonder Peter understood this. That's why he could say, for ye are a chosen generation. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar, unique people. Hallelujah. He said, but now by his spirit. Okay, he said, God did not reveal it to previous generation, but now by his spirit he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news, though I am the least deserving of all. Of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was choosing to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Oh, we must be so special that he kept some things secret from the beginning, just only to reveal them to us now. Hallelujah. 10, verse 10 says, God's purpose in all this was to use the church. Who is the church? We are. Hallelujah. To use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember, the first man, the first Adam, failed. He had to make provision for a return of dominion back to our hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are not the one that the devil is chasing. So when people say, what's it called? Say the hunter, the pursuer, bushmeat. Don't begin to think yourself in that category that you're a bushmeat. No. I have dominion. I have dominion. You see, the way some people pray, they pray like, hey, I'm praying so that I can save myself from the devil. Like, what? If you know who you are, if you know who God says you are, you will not see yourself in that light. You will not see yourself in that light. Hallelujah. We are God's masterpiece. We know our true identity. We know who we truly are. We are God's image. The express image of the glory of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 12, he said, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. We cannot come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Hallelujah. We are who the word of God says we are. Hallelujah. Let's see Luke chapter 2. See, I have a few verses to do. We'll just be quick about them. Luke chapter 2, verse 32. It says, he is a light to reveal God to the nation. And he is the glory of your people, Israel. Hallelujah. He is a light. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. And he is the glory of your people, Israel. Hallelujah. That's who we are. See again, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, from verse 1 to 17. He says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things on earth. Hallelujah. For you died to this life. That's our true identity. You died to this life. We have the kingdom. Hallelujah. You died to this life. And your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And that's what Seth Man would say when he was teaching us the other time. He said, before something can kill you, it will have to go through God first. It will have to go through Christ first. Imagine how fortified we are. You are hid in what? Say, your real life is hidden in with Christ in God. Hallelujah. You have to kill the Father, the Son, and the Spirit to get to me. Hallelujah. That's our true identity. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Do you know what that means? Whatever act you do that showcases God, that gives him glory, it's your Father that is glorified. In it, you are blessed. That's what it means. When it says you're sharing the glory, in it, you are blessed. Amen. Now, he says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Another version says, gutter talk. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Hallelujah. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric or civilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Amen. God chose you to be the holy people he loves. You must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Tolerate. And forgive anyone who offends you. Some people are still keeping records in their diary. In 1979, Uncle Philip gave me a knock on the center of my head. The mark is still there, and you write it down. I went to visit somebody, and I saw the insult. Somebody, the mother-in-law, said something to him, and he wrote it on the wall. He wrote it all over the wall so that he will never forget. I told him, I said, my friend, you better clean these things. You better clean these things. I said, who wrote this one? He wrote scripture in one place, Psalm. A psalm that says, my trust is in the Lord, blah, blah, blah. He wrote it in just a few places. But he wrote this curse that he calls in brand everywhere. I said, this is what you'll be seeing all the time. It's better you write this type. Write scriptures everywhere. Hallelujah. So some people can take record. In 1987, when Babangida was still president, this, auntie, so, my sister, this. They don't forget. May God help us in Jesus' name. He said, make room for forgiveness. He said, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Hallelujah. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. 17. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Hallelujah. Quickly, 1 Corinthians. Just want us to quickly rush the remaining. About 2-3 more scriptures to go. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. So get ready to wrap up. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. It said, that is what the scripture mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. He said, but it was to us, hallelujah, that God revealed these things by his spirit. For his spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Hallelujah. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. We can know God's thoughts. Why and how? Because his spirit dwells in us. His spirit resides in us. So we have that privilege. We have that privilege to know the thoughts of the Father. Hallelujah. And that's why if you read down, there's a place where it says, I have the mind of Christ. It's actually in 16, verse 16 said, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. That's our true identity. We have the mind of Christ. And that's the reason why, even when you step out and you want to go somewhere, and the Spirit of God says, no, hold on, spend time, pray. You say, oh, but I'm in a hurry. I have to catch the bus. He said, just wait on me. And then you're praying, you're praying, you're praying, and you feel a release, and you go out. You don't know what has happened. We've heard stories of someone coming out of his house and he was shot. We've heard stories of someone coming out and then he was involved in an accident. He had just saved you from something you don't know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May our steps always be guided. Amen. No wonder I said in his word that he gives his angels charge over us so that we don't dash our foot against the stone. It also means that so that we don't take the wrong route. So that we don't get involved in accidents when we shouldn't. Hallelujah. His spirit is there to lead us, to guide us. But that only happens when you stay yielded, when you are in tune with the spirit. The pastor was describing what happens to most believers when you see things happen to believers and then you say, why should this happen to a believer? This is what happens. Sometimes, even if they are in right standing, truth is, by communication or by interaction, relationships that they keep, some bring themselves to that point where they set themselves loose for the devil to take advantage. And she went on to give examples. She said, for instance, you see somebody, you're in the choir, you sing, plus all the blessing, all the anointing God has given you. After you are done, the person that is like you are in a relationship with boyfriend, girlfriend, oh yeah. She practically give examples. Say, if this person is a dog, dog represents a sinful nature. And then plus all the Holy Ghost in you. You now say, oh yeah, darling, let's go. I say, oh yeah, you and dog. You have not brought yourself to that degraded place of a sinful nature. Meanwhile, this is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's how we open ourselves. We set ourselves open. And then we say, God, but why? Why did this happen? Something happened. You break the edge, you know the answer. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians also 1 verse 21. Second Corinthians chapter 1:21-22. It said, it is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us and he has identified us. I talked about identity confirmed. When you get to your office, he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. It's a seal. It's a seal. He sealed us, confirming as a guarantee the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. It's only God that can do that. So you come into negotiations with a man, you say, I want to buy your house or buy your car. And then you have talked and everything. You have not even made payment. And the man has given you the documents and everything. I say, I'll be waiting for the payment. He has given us, as the first installment, the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. God is too much, honestly. As a guarantee. You see, that's why I talked about having him as our inner witness. That's the reason why we can't take some wrong moves. Why? Because with the Holy Spirit being there, it's our inner witness. You want to do this? Say, no, no, hold on, don't. There are times, lately I told my wife, there are times I want to say something and he says, no, keep short. And I just keep quiet. And I found out that what I wanted to say would have turned the thing in a different light. But because I kept quiet, I have reasons to testify, to give him praise. So let's be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because God gave him to us for our good. If we are not sensitive and we don't allow ourselves to be led by him, we'll have ourselves to blame. We'll have ourselves to blame. I've shared the story before about how I was the first to get to the park and I was supposed to sit in front. And this guy just was, because I went to ease myself and came back and he sat on my chair. I love to sit in front. And then he wouldn't come down. Everybody, including the owner of the transport line, came to talk to him in Enugu. He refused. I said, okay. I carried my bag and I left. I waited. And you have to wait. You will really wait. Another maybe over an hour or so for the next bus to get filled. And that's it. Halfway to Oka, before we go to Anambra, before we go to Oka, here is that very bus in an accident with heads flying here and there, body parts everywhere. Hit one of this brewery vehicle. And I was just telling myself, that could have been me there because of a common seat that you are dragging. If you are sensitive to the Spirit, there are things you'll be able to escape for life. Accidents, bad things, name it. Name it. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. The last one, just flip over to chapter 3 of the 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3. From verse 1, he said, let me flip forward. Verse 4, he says, we are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. Hallelujah. Because that's what the devil does most of the time. He said, do you think you are qualified? Is it not you? Is it not you that put your hand in the meat, in the pot that day to take meat? Is it not you? You that have been doing, you that is a bad guy. You. All the things that you have done, all the guests you have carried. Devil is a very good accuser. He will tell you all the things you have done. Is it not you? You that used to, as one of my friends, we used to call him Osumabe Indices. You know what Osumabe is? There's this thing women will sell, carry wear on their waist that has zip. They put money in it. I don't know what they call it here. You know? We call it Osumabe. So this boy used to steal his mother's money. He knows how to, even if the mother is wearing that thing on her waist, he knows how to lose the zip and steal money. And you know, indices, they taught us in mathematics, they taught us indices. So we call the guy Osumabe Indices. He knows all the mathematical calculation on how to steal. Because he comes to school, they are not from a well-to-do home. So we know the kind of people that comes to canteen. We see him come to canteen and he's flexing and all that. And he doesn't even have sander. The way he's spending and buying things for people, he doesn't look like somebody that's from. So one day, the mom came to school and was beating the boy seriously, and then found out that the guy is, and we would, your classmates wouldn't let him rest. We started calling him Osumabe Indices. So That's what the devil does. He will accuse you, call you all manner of names. But the scripture makes us understand that we are not qualified of our own. It is God that calls us qualified. Hallelujah. I don't care what I've done in the past. I don't care what has happened in my life. I care about what God calls me. Hallelujah. So if the Bible says I am qualified, I'm qualified. Hallelujah. Amen. He has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the spirit. It's a covenant not written, but of the spirit. Hallelujah. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the spirit gives life. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. This is the part I want us to finish with. It says, the old way, in verse 7, the old way with laws etched in stone led to death. Though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God. Even though the brightness was already fading away, shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way? Now that the Holy Spirit is giving life, if the old way which brings condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all. That's what the Bible says. NLT. He said that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way which has been replaced was glorious, how much more glorious is the new which remains forever? Since the new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We can be rest assured. We can go out with every bragging right that yes, we know our identity in Christ. Hallelujah. We are not like Moses. We put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. As weak as that glory. Said, but the people's minds were hardened. And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writing, their hearts are covered with that veil. And they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Another version says there is liberty. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet as I read the last part. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed, as we are transformed, as we are metamorphosed. Hallelujah. Into becoming more like Him. As we are changed into His glorious image. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have been transformed. We are not the sick. We are not the one who sinned. Hallelujah. We have been transformed into that very glorious image of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we just begin to pray tonight, thanking Him, Lord, thank you for the provisions made for me. Thank you for the provisions made for me. Thank you for your Spirit at work in me. Hey, causing me to know who I truly am. Causing me to know my true identity in Christ Jesus. The glory, the glory of the Lord is visible and is seen in my life. I carry His presence. I carry His power. I carry His power. I carry His Spirit on my inside. Alamande gedish kada do soreya. what our fathers had is nothing compared to what we have. I will not be silent. I will always worship you as long.